the movie was a little bit long, but you're doing all right? Okay, ready for a message? Good. Oh boy, that was quiet. All right, 2 Kings chapter 5. Luckily, I'm in my own happy little land. And so, good. 2 Kings 5. Ready for a message?
Amen.
Oh, good, good, good. 2 Kings 5. I believe that if you give it 5 years, Haiti will not be the poorest country in this hemisphere. I don't think it will be. I think God's going to be merciful to it and bless it because it's becoming Christian and being transformed. It's changing very quickly. And things may change. And you might see big swings. America might not be the country it is now. And we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. But we're excited. We get to be a part of it. And so it's great. 2 Kings and chapter 5. And I'll start at verse 1. Now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would to God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him out of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter unto the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel read this letter, he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh the quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, came and heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent unto the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Amen. I like the way that men of God know they're men of God and aren't worried about. And they're it's not arrogance to know God's with you. And so Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elisha sent the messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come unto me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers and rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Let's go ahead and pray. I want to talk about when obedience is not common sense. When obedience is not common sense. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful book. Thank you for, Lord, just 2 Kings 5, just another great chapter. There's important things about greed in this chapter. There's important things about faith in this chapter. And Lord, how many wonderful things are there in this book? It's measureless, Father. We thank you for the Word of God. I pray tonight that you'd speak and give us what we need. Touch us with the Word of God now. We know we need you, and we just ask for your help in a great and real and powerful way through thy Word. We pray that you would just control and say what you once said, that knowing that our help is not enough, that our abilities aren't enough, that we really need you, Father. So we pray you'd help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Naaman was a strong and commanding man. God says very clearly, he says, this is a very capable man. He was a very powerful man. It says he's a captain of the host of the king of Syria. He's a great man of his master. He was honorable. And God had given great victories to his king, even though his king wasn't one of God's people, per se. God had helped Naaman help that king give many victories by Naaman. He was honorable. He was powerful. He was capable. He was a very man's man, domineering and strong man. And he was a leper, though. He had leprosy. And leprosy, of course, incurable disease at the time, just a terrible, terrible disease where your flesh would eventually rot off you and body parts would fall off and you would eventually have to be isolated. And in any country, it was a terrible disease. You would begin, it just literally your flesh just rots off you. It's terrible, and I've seen it, and it's awful. And leprosy is just this terrible disease he had. And he had they had taken a captive from Israel, and the girl just said, you know, I wish Naaman, such a great man. It's so sad that he's a leper. If he were in Israel, if he were in God's land, he said, you know, there's a prophet there, and he would find out that a prophet could deliver him. And somebody told the king of Syria that who Naaman worked for, and he said, you know, I want you healed, and he sent him there. And the king of Syria sent Naaman down with a bunch of money down to the king of Israel and said, hey, we've heard about prophets or whatever. Here's my guy. I want you to heal him. Here's millions of dollars. And of course, King Israel was not a great man, not a godly man. And he said, you're just trying to find a reason to fight with me. Who am I? I'm not God. I can't do anything about this. But luckily, the prophet heard about Elisha and said, hey, tell him it's going to be fine. Just send him down here. We'll take care of it. So Naaman goes down there, and he goes to the prophet's door, and he comes this great bunch of hosts with him, and money, and I mean, just the amount of money he carried. He had to have a lot of horses or chariots or stuff carrying the wealth, and the big embassage with him, and you'd think they'd come out there, and so Elisha doesn't so much as come out of his house. He's not impressed. He's not anything else. He just says, hey, servant, go tell him to dip 7 times in the River Jordan, and he'll be fine. He'll come out like good as a baby. And oh, man, the servant walks out and says, sir, you must be Naaman. You're the leper. And he says, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and you dip in it 7 times, and you'll come out, and you'll be done. And Naaman's furious. He says, I thought he was going to walk out and wave his hand magically in the very powerful thunderings. I thought something majestic was going to happen. He says, that he doesn't come out and talk to me. Doesn't he know who I am? Doesn't he understand? This is an important moment. We brought millions of dollars with us. This is a big deal. And this is go dip in the Jordan River. You understand, Jordan River is not much of a river. It's a muddy little thing. And he says, go dip in it 7 times. He says, that's an ugly river. It's not even a pretty river. I mean, maybe if I stood underneath the majestic waterfalls and let them fall on me, maybe it would seem more miracle-ish. And maybe if I went, and he says, you know, we've got our own rivers. If I didn't have to come all the way down here for nothing, I could have stayed in my own country. We've got way better rivers than that. If I just dip in a river, that's a dirty river. It's not a great river. And I could have went in the river of Abana or Pharpar. Those are nice rivers, and not a lot nicer than this river here. What is the deal? This is stupid. And he started leaving. And his servant stopped him and said, Naaman, stop. And they said, they're very smart. They use a very logical argument. They said, Naaman, if he would have told you to do some great valiant thing, like go kill 100 enemies or go and fight this enemy or go climb this thing or go. If he would have told you to do some valiant, incredible thing, wouldn't you have done it? He said, of course I would have. He says, well, just go dip in the river. You know, it's the worst thing when you kind of know somebody else is right, but your pride's getting in the way. But leprosy is a pretty big deal. And so he grumbles, and how much rather, verse 13, he says, wash and be clean. And he went down to dip himself 7 times in Jordan, verse 14, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh became again as like the flesh of a child, and he was clean. You know what he had to do to walk down to that river and dip in, though? He had to really swallow his pride. And you know how embarrassing that'd be? You're this mighty person who's always conquered and been in control, and now you got to get in the river, and you're going to try to act like you're cool about it, you know? Here we go. I mean, what would he do? How would you dip? I mean, the whole thing is uncomfortable. And the prophet could be in there laughing at you. He could be saying, you don't look white anymore because now you're dirty. I mean, he didn't know what was going on. And he didn't even see the prophet. I mean, the prophet didn't bother to talk to him, and he's this important, powerful man. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if the president came and the CIA people came in and said, tell the pastor we need to talk to him out here. And I said, Matthew, go tell him, you know, he needs to get saved. Okay. And I wouldn't even come and talk to him. Can you imagine? You know, that's what happened. Naaman had to do it, and it wasn't the logical way. It wasn't the logical rivers. It wasn't the logical way to get healed. Nothing was the way that he envisioned it. Naaman was a capable man. He had ideas in his mind. He said, I thought it'd go like this. Verse 11, he was wroth and went away. He said, I thought he would surely come out and see out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place. Boy, writing down, he had this idea of the way it should go. He had his own ideas. And you know what? He was a capable guy who had always done things and gotten things done and fought the battles and had a plan and things go a certain way and there's certain ways to surrender and there's ways to conquer and there's ways to do things in life and this is not the way you heal me of leprosy. But God does not always go according to the way we think things should go in our own logical ways. Now I want to say this just on the common sense, he says, that's not even a good river to dip in. I don't even need to come down here. I shouldn't even come down here. And we have way better rivers to dip in. But those aren't there. And by the way, the River Jordan didn't have a mystical healing power. Okay? Nobody else went down to Jordan and got healed. But that's what God needed him to do, to humble him in order to get him healed. Because he had to do that certain process with him and with Naaman. And so he chose the river that he wasn't going to like and to get him to do that. And so that's the way God worked it out. And that's the way God did this whole miracle. And he did the miracle. And praise God, Naaman humbled himself and got healed. And I want to say this. Most of the time in life, God uses common sense. Okay? We read the stories in the Bible and stories like this and say, yep, it didn't go according to the way we thought it would and everything else. But you know, most of the time in the Bible and most of the time in life and most of the time in history is God just uses logical things. It doesn't always have to go the strange way. God uses reason. God uses logic. And let me just take it to Proverbs a little bit and just kind of show you, God just uses knowledge. God, in most cases, there isn't some backward, strange, crazy way to do things. Sometimes, usually God says, you know, it's just logic. If a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. Just kind of logical. I know God might lead you to quit your job and you're going to pray and stuff's going to come down from heaven. That's fine. God might do that. I've heard a few people where God said, you know, I got this special plan for you. But most people in life are going to work every day. It's just logical. And sometimes God has to do a miracle, but most things God just does. You get understanding, you get knowledge. And the Bible says increase your knowledge so you can make good choices and you can do those things. And there's just so many things in the Bible and kind of finding common sense in the Bible. It's the whole book of Proverbs. In most cases, it's just logic. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain into wise counsel. They're going to listen to things and gain knowledge and do what's logical and what's most common. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Okay, there's lots of Bible. God's a reasoning God. Isaiah 1:18, come let us reason together, saith the Lord. Isaiah 55, he pleads them. He says, why do you labor for that which is not going to satisfy you? That's not logical. Jesus on the Sabbath logic with the Pharisees and says, hey, you're saying you wouldn't do this on the Sabbath day, you wouldn't do good. What if your oxen fell into the well on the Sabbath day? Wouldn't you pull it out? Come on, guys, be logical here. That's a normal thing you would do. It doesn't have to be that weird. It's not that spooky. Okay? You would go and do these things. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. You want to have good crops? Bible tells you work diligently and take good heed to them. Most of the time, There's not some spooky thing where a farmer says, God is telling me to not weed my crops this year and I'm going to have a greater crop. Ooh. That's normally not what God does. Normally, the person who weeds their crops gets a better crop. Okay? It's not always strange and spooky. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. He's thinking it through. Proverbs 27 and verse 23. Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. The Bible says, you want to have good flocks? Look diligently at them and take care of them. That's what God uses, your diligence. The Bible says in Proverbs, I looked and saw a field overgrown with much weeds, and I saw the field of the slothful. Guess what? He was lazy, so his field overgrew. It's kind of logical. It's all over Proverbs. It is very common, and God uses our minds. If you go and you're being careful with your money, and all of a sudden you have to buy bacon, and all of a sudden you see a coupon that says $2 off a package of bacon. You say, oh Lord, would you like me to use this coupon? Most of the time it's yes. Okay, you don't see people who don't change their oil in their car. Okay, there's nothing too spooky about it. You say, oh God, why did my engine blow at 40,000 miles? Because you didn't change your oil. Well, God didn't lead me to change my oil. Your brain did. Okay? God usually doesn't make you do strange things. Normally, you change your oil. Normally, you get the best deal. If you have a job and everything's the same, and one pays $10 an hour and one pays $15 an hour, everything's the same, they're not different hours, take $15 an hour. No problem. Most of the time, God's very simple. But then all of a sudden, God throws in Proverbs this book of, hey, this is what's logical. This is what's going to happen. If you do this, this is going to happen. In this common sense book of Proverbs, all of a sudden, God kind of says, wait a minute. I'm changing that a little bit. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Because some of the smartest people make good decisions and things don't always work out. And some people seem like they do crazy things, but it does work because God's in it sometimes. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:20, we should not be children in understanding. There's a lot of verses about understanding those things, about knowing what you should do. Proverbs chapter 4, I'm sorry, I said Proverbs 4, Proverbs 3. In verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. God says, you know what? Sometimes you don't lean on your own understanding. Now, most of the time you do, but sometimes God says, you trust me and don't lean on what makes sense to you because I'm leading you to do this. Now, that is Naaman. Me coming to Seattle. Okay? Me even being in Haiti is just an act of God. It wasn't anything I planned, and it's not logical that I was there. And Brother Samuel Filbert and me meeting there, that was of God. I didn't know what he was thinking. I didn't know what his vision was. I didn't know what he needed to see. It wasn't a plan where I'm meeting some pastor that I don't know well, and he's going to be with me at the conference. But God had a plan, and though it wasn't logical, I've also learned that there's times when God says, "Do this," and I say, "That's not what I would do." And I think at those points in your lives, as many times decide what you become. Especially if you're Naaman. You know why Naaman? Because Naaman is competent and capable. And there's just strange people who could just as much do crazy things, and they like crazy. And they don't always make good decisions. And to make a bad decision doesn't worry them, because they make bad decisions. Their whole life's full of bad decisions. They've survived this far. And, I didn't change my oil for 8,000 miles. My car is still fine. You know what? I'm not even going to have tires. You know, I mean, just that, you know, they do things different. But then there's the competent person who logics through life and makes good decisions and things worked out and they have things figured out and they have a good plan. And all of a sudden God says, do this. And they go, that is not a good idea. And I don't do not good ideas. And then they've got to say, And here's the thing, is they would never say I'm smarter than God, but they're saying, Lord, you're wrong about this one. I know you're God, but I know this. Abana and Pharpar are better rivers to get healed. It's a muddy river. I'm sick. And then you come into that when you're naming, and you have to deal with that. And sometimes he makes us go beyond our logic. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Naaman would have gladly done the valiant thing. He would have done the hard thing. That's why sometimes the smartest people have the hardest time with simple salvation. It's Jesus. You got to trust him. You're a sinner. No. There's got to be deeper than that. It can't be that simple. Read John 3:16 again. No, it can't be that simple. Quit overthinking it. You can overthink things. But I've got to do something. I know your whole life you've had to find a way and claw your way through life, and that's good. And that's life. You have to, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. You got to fight your way through most things, but in salvation, you have to quit fighting and let go and let Christ save you. That's hard. That's hard for competent people. They feel like they've got to earn their bid. And so we have that. So why does God do this to us sometimes? Why does he just say, go in the Jordan. Don't even go out. Elisha, don't even go to the door. That'll bother him. That'll tweak him worse. You're just going to push another button. Don't go to the door and tell him to go dip in the Jordan 7 times. And don't go out there and say, all right, good luck. Don't just stay in your recliner. It's going to really bother him. Why does God do that? And why does he make him dip in Jordan? Why couldn't he have just done it back in... Why couldn't he send the prophet to him? He could have done all those things. Just a few thoughts. They're real simple. We'll be done. Number one, why does he do this? Why does he sometimes take us outside of common sense? And when obedience is not common sense. Number one, he knows better than us. He knows better than us. Isaiah 55, just some important verses. You would do well to get down. They're great verses. They're important verses. Isaiah 55. God knows better than us. The longer I live, the more I find out. Yep, God smarter than me. I thought I knew what was going on. There are points in my life where I was unbelievably wise and knew about everything. But I'm kind of getting, now it's, I'm kind of finding out I don't know everything. I'm not as smart as I used to be. About 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, if the world would ask me, I could have told them every answer to every problem. I knew it. But, you know, I find out sometimes things don't always go the way I think and everything. I found out that, you know, I don't know as much as I thought. There's a lot of things that are pretty unpredictable in life. You better just trust the Lord because he knows what's going on. At least that's me. Verse 7, Isaiah 55, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. My thoughts aren't yours. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. It says it pretty clearly there. God's ways are just way, 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 way higher than ours. His thoughts are infinitely higher than ours. And I'm always amazed when a 15, 16, 17-year-old decides to take their own lives out of God's hands and do their own thing and think that's going to work out just fine and God didn't really know how to make them happy. What are you thinking? It impresses me so much when I see someone like Dennis and Sue who've had good, productive lives and are very smart people and all of a sudden in their 60s say, we didn't know anything. And now the world is saying he knew a lot. He's had a successful career, and he's done all kinds of important things, and he has a nice house, and he has all this stuff. But everything he did, he found out was nothing. And he didn't know anything. Yet it takes to the 60s for some of us to learn that. And some people never get it. Boy, praise God. Learn it in your 60s, that's great. You got lots of time to do a lot about it. But it's so strange that we think we know better than God. We don't realize what we don't know. And we can just say, all right, God, this doesn't make sense. Jordan, ugh. All right, I'm going to the Jordan. When we can trust God enough when it doesn't make sense to us to obey anyway, because he knows better than us. Life comes down to who knows better, you or God. That's life. Who knows better, you or God? God called me to preach. I said, no way I could do that. All right, whatever. God knows better. Number two, why does God do this sometime? To make us humble. Naaman couldn't just run over what he needed to do. This week when I got sick and my wife's watching hurt over me, and I hate doing nothing. This week lasted about 6 months. I hate doing nothing. I've got too many things to do and too busy a mind. And you know, but I knew I would do more nothing if I didn't rest. Oh, it's a terrible conflict. Do I want to do nothing or more nothing? Oh, what's worse? And you know, just to say, you know, my body, my mind is just saying, go do something. And every bit of knowledge that was wise said, rest. And it's hard because you want to do something. And you're not dumb, and you got a plan in life. Naaman had to humble himself, go against his nature. Naaman, whenever he wanted to, he was a mighty man. I'm not afraid of that army. Hey guys, I got a plan. You guys go run flank, I'll do this. Let's go. All right. Boom, man. Naaman. That was his life. Powerful, smart, has a plan. Those one of those men who just, you could just see it in his voice. What do you mean? He won't even come out. I thought he was going to wave a hand. I wanted something powerful. And Naaman had to say, this is dirty water. And dip 7 times. Why? Because Naaman, you aren't in control anymore. Humble yourself. You're not in control anymore. If you haven't been there yet, life does that to you. And God allows it because it's good for you. It's good for you sometimes to just say, I need help. I'm weak. Or even those unbelievable words, I don't know. And sometimes we just need to be humbled. And a whole other sermon is just got to know what to do. You have to know what to do when you don't know what to do. And Naaman, all you could do is obey because he had no other answer. Number three, why does God do this? To teach us the source of our dependence. It wasn't the prophet. It wasn't the river. It wasn't his might. It was God. I think of Matthew chapter 17. This goes against the logic. Matthew 17, and we'll finish up there. He came out as perfect skin and white as like a child, a perfectly healthy skin, and everything was good. Matthew 17. Got to pay taxes. What do? He says, Simon, we got to pay taxes. Verse 27, where are you going to get the money? Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast in a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. When thou hast opened his mouth, thou wilt find a piece of money and take it and give it unto them for me and thee. Now, Peter's a fisherman. We got to pay taxes. Peter, go fishing. Isn't that great? God tells you to go fishing. Oh, if that would happen to me. And God tells him to go fishing. And so he reels up the fish. And the first fish he catch, open up his mouth, take out the coin. What do you think Peter's saying? I'm going to stuff this one. And by the way, the other time he fished all night and he says, hey, we fish all night. Haven't got a thing. He says, go back out. You're going to have a draught. He does it. He was a fisherman. And a carpenter's telling him how to fish. people. You ever had somebody who's an observer tell you how to do your job? Oh, drives you crazy. And he says, yep, that's where you'll find. Is that logical? Is that where a fisherman usually find his money? Go fishing. Okay, yeah, I'll go sell some fish. No, just take it. There'll be a coin in this mouth. How in the world did it get its coin in this mouth? I don't know. But it's not logical, but you just obey. See, because it just teaches you, ultimately, your fishing's not going to provide for you. I'm going to provide for you. Ultimately, it might be something you're good at, fishing. But, you know, ultimately, it's my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. It's God is our source. Without him, we can do nothing. He's our provider. He's our savior. He's the great physician. He can keep you healthy or not healthy. He is our everything. So sometimes he puts us in situations where we just kind of say, okay, it's you, God. You've shown me it's not me. It's not me. And so God, sometimes obedience to God is not common sense. Obedience to the Lord is not what's logical to us. It's just obedience. And God says, I want you to do it this way. I put you here. I'm putting you through this. But that doesn't make sense to me. This is a better plan for me, God. Well, careful. He's smarter than you. He sees the future. You don't see 30 seconds from now. Do you know what could happen in 30 seconds from now? Anything in the world could happen in 30 seconds. We could have a massive earthquake. Anything. A meteor could hit us. Somebody could come flying off Pacquiao and come into this building. Anything could happen in 30 seconds. Any one of us could all of a sudden have some physical malady. In 30 seconds, we're calling 911. Why do you have such solid, I got it all figured out plans in life? When you don't know anything. I mean, make plans. I'm for plans. But realize that God's smart, and if he's going to put you through something, if you're in his hand, it's a plan. And it might not be what seems logical to you or best, but trust in his hand. And that's not a pressing thought. Hey, it's great. What a church. I go there and I can die in 5 minutes. Great. Well, however, if you're in God's hand, rest. It's because that's true whether somebody tells you that or not. It's true whether somebody tells you that or not. And so just let's say, God, if this is your plan, okay. You're smarter than me. If it's the Jordan, okay. The Jordan it is. But boy, that's not the best river. But I'm not choosing, am I? Can you just make Abana the healing river? Can you knock on his door again and ask him again? I want a second opinion. Is there another prophet around? No, just trust him, because he's smarter. He humbles us sometimes, and he makes us realize it's him ultimately that's going to do what we need. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this great, simple little story. It's almost humorous with Naaman, how he's kind of angry and stomps off, and his servants talk him into going to the Jordan. I bet you after that seventh time when he came up, Father, you saw it. He must have been pretty happy. Well, I just pray that we would learn from him that we can't always control, that we don't always know, that you're smarter than us, that you know the future, that we just need to look to you, Father, and realize that it's ultimately you who takes care of us and gives us all we need. I pray tonight we just get this lesson of faith and trust, and we'll use our minds, Father. And give us good wisdom and good knowledge to make good decisions in most things in life, or it's just going to be a logical, clear-cut decision. You kind of just show us the best thing to do. But Lord, if those times when you do that, when you make us go against common sense, may we just trust you, who knows better than our good minds. Father, just help us to live in this way and trust in this way. And thank you for your word that teaches us this. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, heads bowed.